Ramban Parshas Toldos. So the Parsha begins with Ela Toldos Yitzchak. These are the kids of Yitzchak. Avraham, holiness Yitzchak. Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak, which is, of course, doesn't sound right, because you're saying the kids of Yitzchak, and then you say Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak. So Rashi says that it's to tell you that Hashem made Yitzchak look like Avraham, because people were saying that it was really Avraham's, it was really Abimelech's kid, because Sarah was 90 years old, never had a kid, all of a sudden something happens with Abimelech, and then they have a kid. So Hashem made an ace, or whatever, I don't know if it's an ace, Hashem made it that Yitzchak looked clearly like Avraham, so everyone would know Avraham holed is Yitzchak. Okay, the Ramban has a different shot. The Ramban says that it's to tell you that Yitzchak is the Iker Yichus of Avraham. Yitzchak was the main child of Avraham. He was the true inheritor. Because if it didn't say that, you know, it says the same words by Ishmael. Ela told us Ishmael ben Avraham. And then says his kids. So if we did the same thing here, Ela told us Yitzchak ben Avraham, like we did by Ishmael, it would look like they're the same. Not only that, who came first? Ishmael, right? In the previous Parsha, it said Ela told us Ishmael ben Avraham. Then we start this Parsha, Ela told us Yitzchak ben Avraham, looks like Ishmael. He came first. He's the Bechor. He's the main thing. So, therefore, the Torah had to go back and say Avraham holed es Yitzchak to show that this is the main inheritor of Avraham's legacy. Okay, so when Rivka gets pregnant, so she has the children, the twins, Yaakov and Esau, fighting in her stomach, and she goes to the Navi to see what's going on. So she goes to the Navi, and the Navi says, Shnei goyim levetnech, you have two nations in your stomach, Shnei le'umim mimeach yiparedu. So these were, and the Rav Yavu Tzair, the Navi tells her, which is important to remember for later, that he told her that the older one's gonna serve the younger one. Okay, anyway, and, so the Ramban says that the Navi was telling her that they're fighting inside her stomach because it's supposed to be like a simon, that these future nations will be always fighting with each other. But now that the simon has been made, this is the interesting part, now that the simon has been given, it's going to stop. It's going to be nice and calm over there. Because they had to fight, kind of miraculously, like Hashem made them have that fighting thing because it's a remez to what would be in their future. But now that they've showed that remez, they'll stop fighting, and she could be calm, go home. It's gonna stop. It's interesting. Okay, they're born, and it says Yitzchak loved Esav ki tzayin befiv. So the Ramban explains that one way of explaining that is he loved Yitzchak Yitzchak loved Esav because he was always giving Yitzchak tzayin. He was always feeding him. When he needed food, he would give him food. And he's called, it's like a description of Esav. Yitzchak loved Esav because Esav was a tzayid bepiv, someone who always gave food to Yaakov, to Yitzchak. And he's described that way because a person is described based on what they always do. And I just thought his example is, David HaMelech is called Va'ani Tfila, I am Tfila. So he's called Tfila because Lerov Tadiruso, because he was always davening. So he was called, so David said about himself, Ani Tfila, because he was always davening. So Esav is called Tzayid Befiv, because he was always giving his father Tzayid. And he also brings a medrash that says exactly this. Kufra tavalet pume, kasa tavalet pume. If he found good meat, he would give it to his father. If he found a good cup of wine, he would give it to his father, so he was always feeding his father. Okay, and Esav is called Edom, because of the story with Yaakov, that he sold the Bechora to Yaakov, and Esav is called Edom because he sold the birthright to Yaakov. Why is that a reason to call someone Edom for the rest of their life? Just because it was to make fun of him. I know, not the Pasuk's making fun of him, but that people made fun of him, that he sold his birthright for a pot, you know, for a bunch of lentils, for a bunch of red lentils, they called him red. Okay, then we have, after he sells the Bechora, Vayivez Esav es HaBechora. Okay, so this is a longer Ramban, where he argues with the Ibn Ezra. So it says that Esav, disgraced, was Mavaza the Bechora by, Pashto says, by selling it for, like we said, a bowl of lentils. And not only that, Vayochal Vayesht Vayakam Vayelach. Vayibazesav Vesabachor. It says he ate, he drank the food, he got up, and he left. What do you mean he got up and he left? Vayibaz is trying to tell you, the Ramban says, that he didn't care. In other words, it wasn't like after he finished eating and now he's all calm and relaxed. Now he's like, oh my gosh, what did I do? He didn't care. He ate, he left. He wasn't interested in the Bechorah. He was happy he ate, and that's all he cared. Like, tomorrow he's not going to get the Bechorah. Today he got some lentils. Who cares what's going to happen tomorrow? That's the way he says the fools are. That's what the Ramban says. That's the Vayibaz Esa Vesa Bechorah. Okay. Now, Ibn Ezra has a different shot here, which he quotes his rayas, and the Ramban disagrees. So, what is the bizayin of the Bechorah? We already said what the Ramban holds. He quotes then the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says he was mevaz of the Bechorah in that he didn't just sell the rights to, you know, be the Bechorah in terms of getting the spiritual inheritance. He sold the Bechorah, period. Now, Avram was rich, that we know. So probably Yitzchak had money. So why would Esav sell the Bechorah for a pot of lentils? There's a lot of money he just threw out the window. You know, when there's only two people, so you're talking about you just sold a third of, right? When there's a Bechorah, the Bechorah gets double, as if there's three sons. If there's two sons, it's as if there's three, and the Bechorah gets two. Why would, that's a lot to give up if he's a rich man, Yitzchak. So why would he give it? It must be that Yitzchak lost his money somehow. He became poor. That's what the Ibn Ezra suggests. He was mevaz of the Bechorah because he didn't need it. Yitzchak was a poor man. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. And Ibn Ezra quotes those who are surprised at such a pshat because Avram was rich. So how could it be that Yitzchak wasn't rich? What Yitzchak blew it? How could Yitzchak have blown so much money? So the Ibn Ezra kind of sarcastically replies, like they've never seen a rich guy lose his money in his life. Okay. And here's the proofs that Yitzchak was poor, says the Ibn Ezra. Number one, he loved Esav's, that Esav should bring him hunting, you know, Sharan for him. If he had all kinds of food, and he was a rich man, how come he needed his son to be getting him food all the time? How come Esav would sell his Bechorah for a pot of lentils? Why don't he just go home and get some food? Why would he sell his Bechorah for a pot of lentils? Must be, there was no food in the home, because they were poor. And Esav had these begadim hachamudos, right? These great, the clothes that Yaakov eventually wore to pretend he was Esav. How come Yaakov didn't have begadim hachamudos? Must be that he couldn't afford it. How come when Yaakov went away to Laban's house, right? Wasn't he sent with money? And he had to go work for Laban. Wasn't he sent with money? Again, must be he's poor. And that which the Pasuk says later, that Yitzchak was rich for Yigdal Ish, later on in Perek Chavav, so that's later, but right now he got poor. And he says people are troubled by the fact that how could it be that Hashem would let a tzaddik be so poor? He says people think that this is some kind of big milah for a tzaddik to be rich. It's not a milah for a tzaddik to be rich. Tzaddikim don't need riches. They need inner spiritual richness. And Eliyahu was poor, Eliyahu HaNavi. And others will ask, this is all the Ibn Ezra talking, others will ask, why would Hashem make it that Yitzchak would be so poor? Why would he take away his money? So the Ibn Ezra says back to that, maybe you could tell us why he was blind. We don't know anything. We don't know. It has Hashem has his reasons. Okay, this is the Ibn Ezra that the Ramban quotes. Rabban very strongly disagrees with this Ibn Ezra to say that, to say what the Ibn Ezra says, that Yitzchak was poor. So one of the reasons he says is because if you follow what the Ibn Ezra says, it's going to be come out that he started off rich, then he got poor really quick, because this happened really early on in their lives, that he sold the Bechorah, then he got poor. Then he got rich again, and then he got poor again, because when they got the bracha, he asked for Esav to bring him more tzayin. So according to the Ibn Ezra's theory, that means he got poor again. So he was rich, then poor, then rich, then poor. He says, "Ein elu elu divrei folk." That's just silly. And he said also that Avram blessed Yitzchak. And Hashem gave Avram the power to bless people. And he says, whoever you bless will be blessed, right? So what happened to Yitzchak? He's not blessed. So rather, the Ramban says, no, all the Avos were like kings. They all had plenty of money. And everybody wanted to be their pal. So then what's the answer? Why did Esav sell his bechor a pot of lentils and give up a ton of money? He says, so the Ramban says it could be that before Matan Torah, that was not part of Bechorah. Bechorah was not that you get the financial assets, just that you would take your father's position. So Yaakov would be taking the position, meaning to be the rabbi, the one doing the avodah and the Beis HaMikdash, but not the financials. And the fact that Esav was always feeding his father, that was just to fool his father into thinking, to be machna of his father, so that his father should like him. And Chasher people eat grilled stuff, steaks, everybody likes steaks. So it's not because he lacked money, he was just trying to be machna of his father, so his father would like him. And why was Yitzchak blind, says the Rabban, so the whole story of him selling the Bechorah could happen, right? Not the selling, but the getting Yitzchak to give the Bechorah to Yaakov only happened because Yitzchak was blind. So that's his reason. Okay, then the pasuk continues, Vayhi Rav Ba'aretz, there was a famine in the land, Vilvad Harav Harishon, besides the first famine, Asher Haya Be'aretz Bimei Avram. So the Rabban says, what's the point of mentioning besides the first Rav? Like, what does that have to do with anything? The Rabban says, and there's a Medrash that actually says this, because that first Rav in the time of Avram was the first Rav ever. That's amazing. Right? That means one of the Nisyonos, according to some, is the Nisayon of the Rav, that he had to go down as soon as he was promised Israel. He had to leave Israel because of the famine. According to this, not only was that it wasn't just a famine, it was the first famine in history. Levad HaRav HaRishon, besides the first famine, because that was the first ever. That's what the Ramban suggests, and there is a Medrash that says that it was the first famine. But him going down, him going into Galus, Yitzchak, he didn't leave Eretz Yisrael, but him going into Galus, meaning not being in his place, was actually a remez for us, for what would happen, that they would go down. It's a remez to them going down to in Babel. He went back to the place of his father, or Kastim, and that was a remez to going back to, when they went to Babel, they went back to there, where their fathers were from, as Orkastim, so whatever. I think I said that wrong. They went back from where they were from to Yitzchak went from where he was from to Eretz Plishtim, similar to Galus Bavel when they went back to where their fathers were from, which is Orkastim. Now Yitzchak does the same thing as his father and said that his wife is his sister, but according to the Ramban, this is interesting, Avimelech remembered what happened with Avram, and Avimelech knew better than to go after Rivka. So the Pesukim just say that the people asked, oh, who is this? And he said, it's my sister. And Avimelech didn't take him, because Avimelech remembered what happened last time when his father was here. So the Pesuk says, when Avimelech realized for sure it was his wife, it says Avimelech called to Yitzchak, and he said, Vayomer Achinei Ishtachahi, it's your wife. Evechamarta Chosi, how'd you say it was your sister? And Avimelech says, Mazos Asisalanu, Kimat Shachav Achada Amishtacha. It almost happened that someone from the nation was with your wife. Maybe Selena Shom, then that would have been an Averis. So Rashi says, Achada Am means me, the king, Avimelech. I was almost with your wife because I almost made the mistake. But the Ramban says, no, Avimelech didn't make a mistake. He knew. And that's why he said, Achada Am. They don't know. I know because I remember what happened. But someone else almost took your wife. Okay. And just also, just wanted to point out, when Hashem told Yitzchak to stay, don't go to Chutzaretz and just go to where the Plishtim are, he swears to him. He says, that is when we say that the shvua that Nishbati Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, the land that I swore to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, this is it. There's very little in the Torah about Yitzchak. Parsha told us basically the whole story where Yitzchak's the main character, except the Kedus Yitzchak or whatever. But told us is the main story, and so where does Hashem swear to Yitzchak that he'll give him Eretz Yisrael? This is it. That's the line. Vakimosi Seshvua. Okay. Now, at the end of that, when Hashem is promising him, he'll get out to Israel, and he says, and you'll be blessed, and he says, why? This is a very famous Ramban. You have to hear this. Very, very famous. It says, because Avram kept mitzvosai, he was shomer mishmarti mitzvosai sarasai v'chukosai. So Rashi says that this refers to all kinds of different mitzvos that were certainly not before Matan Torah. Rashi says he kept gzeiros derabanan, like shnias l'arayos, those are rabbinic people you can't marry but derabanan, shvus l'shabbos, yisuri derabanan of Shabbos, mitzvosai is gezel and shvichas damim, Rashi says, chukosai are chukim, like it sounds like, achilas chazir, not eating pork, levishas shatnez, and torasai is halacha moshe mesinais. Now, Avraham Avinu wasn't mitzvah in any of that. He didn't have to keep kosher or whatever. That wasn't part of the Sheva Mitzvos. And Avram didn't have to keep any of that. And he had, Avram Avinu Pashtas had 7 plus 1. He also had to do Bris Mila. Other than that, and certainly not the Rabbanans, the Rabbanan weren't even around to have created them. Shnias Larayas. So how could, so what does it mean that he kept it? So Rashi understands that he kept the Torah Kodem Shenitna. He kept the Torah before it was given, Avram, even the Rabbanans. And that seems to be what you see in a lot of Chazals, like when Yosef was coming home and he sent Agolos, that was to be Meramis, to Yaakov, the last thing was they were learning was Parshas Egla Rufa. What, there was no Torah yet? How was he teaching Egla Rufa? There was. They were learning Torah, even though they weren't commanded, but they were learning the Torah. They were able to somehow figure out on their own the Torah. Okay, so the Ramban has a very important question here, which is, how could you say that the Avos kept the Torah? There's so many examples of them seemingly not keeping the Torah. The most famous is Yaakov married two wives. That's Arayos, after the Torah was given. Amram married his aunt, Yocheved, also an Erva, Doraisa. Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, put up 12 matzevas, not allowed to do matzeva. So they all did that. Yeah, we did find that, like we said, Yaakov, it says in the Medrash, Yaakov kept Shabbos. He was Kavat Tchumen, which is Derabanan. So how do we put this all together? So first, the Rabban suggests, well, maybe they really didn't keep the Torah. Maybe we'll assume from all these reasons that he proven that so many of the Avos and the Moshe Rabbeinu not keeping the Torah, that maybe they didn't keep the Torah, it seems. It says that Yaakov kept Shabbos. Okay, Shabbos is special because it's Shkulos Keneged Kol Mitzvah, it's Meid, it gives testimony that God created the world. Maybe that's an exception. And furthermore, maybe this whole Midrash is a bunch of exceptions. In what way? Maybe all of these are really part of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. How? So when the Midrash says Shnias Arayos, it means maybe Shnias Arayos of B'nei Noach. Meaning not Shnias to all Arayos. Some, I guess, there are abundant versions of the Arayas that are Arayas for B'nai Noach. And Mitzosa could be Gezel, that's fine. What are a chok? Not eating treif, rather eating Iver Menachai. So maybe that's the chok. Why that's a chok, I don't know. But he has another very important example, and that is Kilayim Shel Harvas Behema Varkavas Ilaman. And also doing being marbia, that's having a donkey and a cow have children together, or harkavas ilan, or grafting a tree, to take a branch of one tree, an apple tree, and put it on a pear tree. So that's harkava, and he says that's part of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Did you hear that? He said grafting a tree is part of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and he's not the only reason to hold that. Rambam holds that as well. I don't think we paskin that way, but there are Rishonim. It's not clear at all, but I don't think we paskin the way Lamaisa, but there are Rishonim, and clearly the Ramban is amongst them, who hold that Harkavas Ilan, grafting, is something that's Aser of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, it's part of Sheva Mitzvahs, and you cannot, what's the difference? You cannot ask a non-Jew to do Harkavas Ilan for you. Forget the Isser of Amir al-Akam. Let's say there's a way of getting around it. Even if you could get around this or Mila Akum, according to the Rabban, it would still be usher because it's Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, so you couldn't help him. It would be Lifnei Iver if you helped him do it. Have all kinds of nafkaminas. Again, I don't believe we pass in that way. But the Ramban says that Harkavas Ilan and Havas Behema Alor Sheva Mitzvahs, and again, the Rambam, I believe, says that as well. Okay, so that's in his list of, so maybe it's those Sheva Mitzvahs. Sorosai, and what would Sorosai mean? It would mean whatever, Avodah Zarah, all the dinim that a Goyim have to keep. So maybe that's what it means. Okay, maybe, but the Ramban says he thinks that's not what it means. He has a different shot. And this is very, very famous. And that is that when did our Avos, and including Amram and Moshe Rabbeinu, when did we say that they keep the Torah before it was given? Only in Israel, because Hashem is Elokei Haaretz, is the God of Eretz Israel. And therefore, they only kept the mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, the Ramban says a lashon later, not in this parsha, but elsewhere, that keeping the Torah when we're not in Israel is just like practice. It's based on measures, but it's practice for when we get back to Eretz Yisrael. It's like the mitzvot we do outside of Eretz Yisrael almost don't count. They do, of course, but they almost don't count. They're not the real mitzvah. It's just practice for when we get back to Eretz Yisrael. So the Avos only kept the Torah when they're in Eretz Yisrael, which is why Yaakov married two sisters only when he was outside of Eretz Yisrael, and Amram married his aunt when he was outside of Eretz Yisrael. And all the things he said of not following the Torah, those were all outside of Eretz Yisrael. But in Eretz Yisrael, they kept the Torah. And that which Yaakov and Yosef kept Shabbos, even though, let's say, Yosef, he says, kept Shabbos outside of Israel, that's because that, like we said, Shabbos is a very serious mitzvah, and they kept it even outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, then we have the story. Believe it or not, this is basically the only story in the whole Chumash where Yitzchak is, you know, the only character, and it's a story just about Yitzchak, and nobody else gets mixed in. This is pretty much it, the story with the wells. There's really nothing else that's only, I mean, like we said, there's a Kiddush Yitzchak that's about Avraham and Yitzchak. And there's the story of him going with Avim down to Eretz Yisrael. But basically, this is certainly from the few stories. With Yitzchak is just the story about him and the wells, that he dug some wells and they filled it up and he dug them again. So what is this, all these wells? First of all, on the Pashup Shad, it says that they went to Nachal Grar. A Nachal is like a brook. And they dug Avdi Yitzchak Banachal in the brook, in which case, so the water they were taking, if it's a brook, if you divert their water, you're getting the water of the people downstream. So that's why they said, Rory Grer said, the people of Avimelech's people said, hey, you're taking our water. And that's why Yitzchak, that's why the Pasuk tells you, no, it was actually a Ber Mayim Chaim. He was taking from a spring. He wasn't taking anybody's water. But more fundamentally, he says that these diggings and undiggings of these wells, it's not a pointless story. It's a remez to the three Batei Mikdash. Because it says, they dug a well and they called it Asek. And the second well they called Sitna, and the third well they called Rehovos, and nobody bothered him with that one. And that's because the first one is the first Batei Mikdash, which is called Asek, because of the machlokas and the machamas we had over it. The second one was called Sitna, which is, like it says, Mamachas Achashverosh B'tchilas Machuso Kosfu Sitna Yoshvi Yehuda Rishalayim. It's literally, I think it means hatred. It's not the same word, but it's a similar word. And the second base of Mignesh, that there was all fights. And the third one is called Rehovos, it's Rachav, it'll be expanded, it'll be calm. That's when the base of Mignesh, the third base of Mignesh is rebuilt. Hashem expands our Gvul, there'll be no fighting, and everything will be, the Jewish people expand, Hashem's Torah will be everywhere, and all the nations will come to worship Hashem. That's Rehovos. Okay, now we have the story of Yaakov getting the bracha from Yitzchak. So the Ramban asks a very pashut question. Remember we said at the beginning, the Navi told Rivka, Barav Ya'avod Tzair, the older one will worship, will work for the younger one. That means the younger one's going to be the top one on top, and he would get the brachos. That was a Nevuah. Here's Yitzchak about to bless the wrong guy. Why didn't she tell him? famous question. Why didn't she tell him? And the Ramban says, because she figured if she got the Nevuah, he must have gotten the Nevuah. That's one of his answers. Which is just interesting, because this is a very similar thing that happened last week, where Avram didn't tell Sarah that they were going to have a kid, because he figured if I heard, she for sure heard. I don't know what you're supposed to learn from this, but seems to be the same thing, that Rivka did not tell Yitzchak, because she figured he knew already. And at this point, where she sees he must have not known, because he was going to bless Esav, she still did not tell him, because she figured if he tells him, he's going to be all upset, and he's not going to give Yaakov a bracha with a full heart. So therefore, in this way, if he doesn't know, he'll give with the mamish a full heart, thinking it's Esav, and it'll be Yaakov, and that was the way to do it. So now the Ramban also asks, okay, how did this whole ruse happen? Didn't he know? Didn't Yaakov and Esav sound different? I mean, Yaakov was not deaf, he was just blind. So when they're going to do this trick, why was Rivka and Yaakov not concerned that Yitzchak would recognize Yaakov's voice and say, hey, you're not Esav, you're Yaakov? So he says it's possible they were twins, you know, it's possible they had the same voice, or it's possible that one was able to imitate the other and whatever, they could get away with it. Okay, then we have when Yitzchak gives the brachos to Esav, the brachos that he gave to him, he says, Achar b'chatichya, but achicha tavo, but you will work for your brother, or you'll be subjugated by your brother. Vayakasher tarid, but, and this is the way the Ramban translates it, when you will be sad, like when you daven to Hashem about the difficulty that Yaakov is causing you, then you'll be able to throw him off. So the Ramban says, this teaches us that Klal Yisrael is not allowed to mess with Esav too much. And that's the pasuk we find in Dvarim, that it says, V'nishmartim ma'od al tiskeru bam, and it says, like, don't get in a fight with Esav. The Ramban understands that this is a real mitzvah forever, that Klal Yisrael cannot mess with Esav. And if they do, try to cause him pain, and if they do, then he can, when he davens, then he'll be able to beat us. It's just interesting. He considers this one of the mitzvahs, meaning the one in Dvarim, that it's a constant mitzvah forever, that the Jews are not allowed to bother Edom. Okay, then towards the end of the parasha, so Yitzchak tells Yaakov to go to Lavan's house, whatever, his family, to marry a wife. And the pasuk says that Vayishlach Yitzchak et Yaakov to Lavan. And who is Lavan? Achi Rivka, the brother of Rivka, Em Yaakov Esav, who is the mother of Yaakov of Esav. So Rashi says, I have no idea why it is telling you that Rivka is the mother of Yaakov and Esav. We are well aware. So the Ramban explains, it's telling you that she was the mother of both of them, and that Yitzchak, you would think, would have sent then, that Yitzchak would have sent both Yaakov and Esav. It's Rivka is the mother of Yaakov and Esav. Why would you only send Yaakov to her relative to find a wife and not Esav? Ramban says that was because he wanted, at least at this point, the bracha of Avram to be with Yaakov and his zera. That's why he sent him there. But in other words, the reason why he's telling you Rivka's aim Yaakov Esav is to be mirror you to this, that you would think he would have sent them both there, but he didn't because of this cheshbon. And, by the way, it says Esav finds out that Yitzchak was interested in Yaakov marrying a girl from there, and he did not want Benos Kanan. So therefore, Esav took another wife that would fit. He took the daughter of Yishmael, who was also not from Benos Kanan. However, he did not get rid of the first wife. In other words, he had a wife from Kanan. He didn't get rid of her. That's what the pasuk says, that he took Machlas, daughters of Yishmael, Al Nashav Lo Leisha, meaning he saw his father didn't like Benos Kanan. That wasn't enough for him to divorce his Kanani wives. He just took an extra wife from the people, from the families that Yitzchak would have been okay with. And like the Ramban says, this is just to tell you that Esav was not a tzaddik. In other words, he went with his taiva more than what his father wanted.